The city of Ashland is quite the tourist magnet of the summer. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival is possibly the biggest draw, but with nearby mountains and rivers and lakes and not too long a drive to the ocean, there are many reasons for visitors to show up. And many places for them to stay, including in private homes offered up as vacation rentals. And now those homes face new regulations, making the requirements of renting out a private home more like renting out a hotel room. Two guests join us on The Exchange in this segment. Bill Molnar is the City of Ashland Community Development Director. Bill, welcome.
Good morning.
And Abby Magamfar is the president of the Ashland Lodging Association. Abby, thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
So, Bill, what's the basic issue here? What is the problem in the city's eyes that led to this move?
Well, you know, the city for years has regulated visitor accommodation. It goes back to really the early 80s, understanding the number of visitors that we have coming into the community. And those have been restricted to certain zones, commercial zones, and then our multifamily zones. Probably several years ago, we started noticing, and probably because of the internet and different ways to advertise visitor accommodations, we saw a relatively significant increase in individual homes being offered for short-term rent on the internet. And we realized those did not have land use approvals, or in many cases were located in zoning districts, your typical single-family zoning district, that were not allowed. And so we started a comprehensive effort to try to bring those under control. But again, with the visitor accommodation industry, I think they were quite lucrative in some circumstances, and it's been a difficult issue to get them under control. So the council around a year ago asked us to sort of evaluate the issue and see if maybe we would want to consider changing our codes.
Were there other places that had similar experiences? Were you able to compare notes, or was Ashland sort of unique in the kind of place it is?
You know, Ashland was not unique. If you look at communities that have similar qualities to Ashland that are just desirable destinations like the Napa Valley area, what we realized through our research that many communities were dealing with the same battle. And even some of the major cities like New York City, Santa Monica, really trying to weigh visitor accommodations with the needs to provide for long-term housing needs in those destinations.
In Ashland's case, though, was it really causing any problems for anybody? I mean, other than for the neighbors who would think, I don't know who's staying next to me tonight because the people next door keep renting their house out for vacation rentals.
Well, you know, there's general areas of problems that come up, and that is surely one of them. People are concerned because people are coming and going, and these are traditional neighborhoods that are very strong neighborhoods, and people have concerns, especially that have families, because they don't know. They just see people coming and going. Also, there's generally other impacts associated with an increase of these accommodations, such as traffic, maybe parking becomes more difficult. You notice maybe recycling and trash being put out earlier and left out later. So we are getting an increasing number of calls, especially areas close to the downtown that are so desirable, and you see a concentration of these homes.
Abby Magamfar, what kind of impact were the vacation rentals, were the rentals of private homes as vacation rentals having on the Ashland Lodging Association?
Well, the lodging industry as a whole supports the city's program in maintaining a certain level of differences between different zones as what goes in each zone. Municipalities as a whole depend on what the cities do in their zoning. For example, in single-family zones, there are certain type of businesses allowed, that home occupancy, for example, is one of them. But it limits it to certain type of activities, certain limit number of people coming and going on certain hours. For example, in the city of Ashland, it's 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So when people start renting their homes as short-term rental, it takes tourists away from where they are allowed by the city and licensed and permitted by the county and state of Oregon to stay in. Therefore, it reduces the number of stays in the hotels, motels, and the licensed vacation home rental. One of the things that seems to be missing from the conversation, and people really didn't understand until the last city council meeting is that the city of Ashland presently has 82 licensed lodging establishments in the entire city. Out of the 82, practically is broken in half, that 50% of them are hotels and motels, and the other 50%, hotels, motels, and B&Bs, and the other 50% are vacation rentals. So the city of Ashland does have policies and laws in place that allows vacation rental. And they are located in zones that refer to multifamily, R2 and R3. And if anybody wants to open a new one, there is plenty of properties in those zones that they can acquire and get a permit to run a vacation home rental or, for that matter, a bed and breakfast.
Was the set of vacation homes or homes being rented out as vacation rentals, was it clearing out one or two rooms in each hotel or something more than that each night? I mean, do you have any figures on that?
What we have been able to establish is that there hasn't been a growth in the non-hotel category of lodging in Ashland. And if you look at the tax revenues that the city collects from different segment of the lodging industry, there has actually been a slight drop in those revenues, that which represents there is a drop in occupancy. But there is other factors goes in there that it really makes it difficult to know exactly what they are, because if somebody or in one segment of industry raise their prices, then that skews the numbers.
Abby Magenfar is the president of the Ashland Lodging Association. Bill Molnar is the City of Ashland's Community Development Director. We're talking about new regulations for the renting of homes as vacation rentals in the City of Ashland. You can join us on the exchange. The local number for the Medford-Ashland area, 541-552-6782. And anywhere else in the region, 800-838-3760. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. So Bill Molnar, what are the requirements then? I mean, first of all, let's talk about the wheres, because it's not allowed in single-family residential zones?
They're not allowed in the single-family residential zones. Where they are allowed is multifamily zones and commercial. I think the main distinguishing element in terms of when we looked at some of the zone changes is that or changes to our zoning requirements is that under the current code, to do a vacation rental, as Abby said, it is allowed, but in a multifamily zone, you need to have a property manager or business owner reside on the site. So really the main discussion over the last year has, should we allow for some flexibility in the multifamily zones to allow you to rent a home but not be required to have an on-site manager in order to provide a choice that people are looking for in terms of leasing a home for a few days, being able to have guests, kitchen facilities, but not have a property manager on site. And after around a year of discussion, ultimately the council chose to really not make that change and felt that the current ordinance that requires a property manager on site in these residential zones has done the city good. It's been a service. It's protected the neighborhoods. And so at this point, there hasn't been significant changes, with the exception of a new code requirement that makes it potentially a violation to city code to advertise a short-term home rental if you do not have city approval. So just the act of offering these units for lease on a website without having city approval is a violation of the municipal code.
And simply put, if you're in a single family residential zone, you're not going to get that approval.
You're not going to get that approval. I should say that the council has a study session in November that, since there was a lot of discussion from owners of single family properties that would like some consideration, the council has agreed to have some further discussion about that issue in November. But at this point, a majority of council has indicated they're not they're not interested in looking at the single family zones, but they're willing to have a separate discussion on that matter in November.
I'm going to guess that was part of the attraction for some of the people who would stay in these vacation rental homes, though, is to be able to stay in a fairly quiet neighborhood and not in the tourist zones.
No, you're exactly right. In terms of the number of properties that we were pursuing compliance activity against, and that was around 70 properties at this point, probably around 70% of those were in single-family zones. They were in neighborhoods often well outside the downtown, so they were probably looking for a more, I guess, pastoral type of neighborhood setting.
And so, Abby Magamfar at the Ashland Lodging Association, I mean, do you consider perhaps that some of the people, I imagine some of the people actually have vacation rentals that are fitting within current city code, or at least will when the code is changed, will perhaps be members of the association?
Well, there, interestingly enough, Ashland being a small town, you know, anything is possible. There could be people who are members of the association or associated with the city government that they own properties that fall into the category. But one of the other things that I think needs to be mentioned is the fact that what rental of the homes in, whether it's on R1 or any other part of the town that they are eligible for multifamily zoning or short-term rental, when they are taken off from long-term rental market and rented as a short-term, it reduces the long-term inventory. It affects the people who would like to live in Ashland and actually work in Ashland, and they are not able to find long-term housing. And Bill's department actually had done a cursory review of that, and it shows that certain percentage of or certain number of houses that they used to be long-term rental, now they have been turned into short-term rental. So what it does, people who would like to live in Ashland but they cannot afford to own their own home, they're forced to go elsewhere, move out of town to find a place to live. And therefore, that makes it a little bit of a challenge. And the other thing that you brought up is the fact of the if there is a home in R1 zone, single-family zones are generally designed for families to live in. Yeah, you see churches, you see daycare centers, and those are acceptable because those are the type of needs that they are accepted and needed in single-family zone. But what happens is as people come and go, extra traffic, extra parking spaces needed, more wear and tear, and also the fact that the residents don't know who lives next to them, that becomes a concern.
But for the folks who are saying, look, I'm gone for 3 weeks every summer, I just want to rent this house to one family that I know and make a few bucks while I'm not in town, who am I hurting? What's
as
the response
a matter,
there?
Thank you for asking that question. As a matter of fact, the code, as it is in place right now, allows for a use like that. Somebody can rent their home for less than 30 days, but one rental. Somebody wants it to rent it for 30 days, for 3 weeks, they can do that. And they don't need to get a permit. But these went beyond that. These were people who were renting two nights at a time, 1 week at a time, and back and forth, people coming and going. And those are the type of activities that they are not allowed in single-family zones.
So, Bill Molnar, what are the requirements then of the legal vacation rentals, the ones that the city will sanction?
Well, the general requirement is you go through a land use approval and you need to get a conditional use permit that generally requires a notice to surrounding property owners. They can request a public hearing if they choose. There's certain calculations to determine the number of rooms that can be rented, or there's requirements for parking. You need to have, obviously, a business license, a register for transient occupancy tax. Some of the new requirements include a fire inspection prior to having individuals come and occupy the establishment, as well as I said, limitations on are not being permitted to advertise until you have the approvals in place. You know, I think some of the comments Abby just made regarding single-family zones, I think that is one issue that the council could likely discuss in November is those individuals that are in their home. It's their primary residence for the majority time of the year, but maybe they travel for a few months in the summer and would like to be able to utilize that home for multiple parties at that time. That's one item that could be considered.
When you say parties, you mean parties of people, right?
Yeah, parties of people. I don't mean – yes, apology. Thank you for the correction.
All right, so business license, fire inspection, occupancy tax, can't occupy, can't advertise unless you've got the other approvals in order. I mean, how much money are we talking about potentially requiring from a person renting out a home?
Well, I mean, the land use application is slightly over $1,000. You know, the business license can be, $100 or so. You know, the transient occupancy tax is 9%.
Well, that's not something that they pay out of their pocket. You collect from the guest and you pay it to the municipality.
Understood that part, yeah.
So overall, about $1,100 probably.
Yeah. For the city approval fees, roughly $1,100.
How much of the city, particularly as you get closer to the tourist zones around the boulevard, are single-family residential versus multiple-family?
As you get around the boulevard towards the downtown, you have our historic districts that are primarily multifamily. As you get a few hundred feet out, they will go to single family zones like some of the more popular areas around Granite Street, Pine Street. But then most of the single family zones are well away from the boulevard in the downtown.
Okay. Before we go, I just want to establish, though, I mean, did you have to establish the length of stay that falls within this thing? Because
and probably one correction, what Abby mentioned, is that a visitor accommodation is generally defined as an accommodation that's providing a stay of less than 30 days. And so if you have a home and you want to rent it for a month,
For
a whole summer, because that's greater than 30 days. Mm-hmm. That is currently legal in all residential zones.
Okay,
it just has to be a minimum of 30 days.
And the council picks it up again in November, you said?
November, yes.
All right. Bill Molnar is the City of Ashland Community Development Director. Abby Magamfar is with the Ashland Lodging Association as president. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.